Listen to this Ross report for all the updates.
Hi, I'm Maury Bransky, and you're listening to the Ross Report podcast, an official podcast of the New England Patriots. Today we have all the latest news on the Patriots roster.
Thanks very much, Laurie. Well, after a lull for the Patriots in terms of free agent signings since that early flurry early in March, they have signed another player, cornerback Torrey James, late of the Cincinnati Bengals. He also played with Denver and with Oakland, and he's been pretty productive in the last couple years. And Eddie Jackson had been the only free agent signing in the defensive backfield that the Patriots had made. But this is a player who's been pretty productive. He's going to be 34 years old very soon, so it's not like this is a long-term signing that's solving all their needs at cornerback, but probably a guy who, at least for this year, can contribute, maybe even start, depending on what happens with Asante Samuel, with the draft and all that. What do you guys make of this signing? He still has a physical to pass, but assuming he is a Patriot in 07, the addition of Torrey James.
Well, I'm not a Torrey James fan per se when it comes as a starter. You said that he was very productive. He was also very productive at getting burnt deep often because he's a gambling-type corner and he doesn't have the speed that he once did.
Sure.
However, bringing him in as your third corner, a spot where the Patriots are a little weak right now, I think it's a good move. But I would be nervous if he becomes a starter, like you said, at some point during the year.
Yeah, I echo Tom's comments. I think, if for that role, as a nickel guy, as an extra DB, I think it's an excellent signing. I think you look at some of the guys they've brought in the last couple of years, and first and foremost, Eric Warfield from last year. Starks. I think this guy is probably a little bit better suited to do some of those things. And even if you just look at the way they finished last season, not going back too far in the past, just the way they ended last season, Ray Mickens was a guy who was asked to do some pretty important things, covering guys in the slot,
serving as
an extra DB in the playoff game. I think that Torrey James represents an upgrade over a guy like Ray Mickens in that department. As long as he's not at, the whole Samuel thing, I don't think this has anything to do with the signing of Samuel.
I fully agree.
Okay? I know a lot of people have, led their stories with, as insurance, and this has nothing to do with that. This signing would have been made whether they had already signed a long-term deal with Samuel or if they had traded Samuel, whatever. This is a depth signing, and I think it's an excellent one.
I agree with that. To me, it has nothing to do with Samuel. It also has no impact to me and what they do in the draft.
None. As far
as first round, I mean, it's still a long-term need. A long-term need on this team is depth and youth at cornerback. Now, I don't think he's coming in as a starter, but I don't think you're embarrassing yourself if Torrey James ends up being one of your starters for any number of games this year. He hasn't missed a game. He's started every game for the Bengals over the last 4 years. Obviously, Samuel and Hobbs would be 1 and 2 on your depth chart right now if Samuel were under contract. But this is a guy who, like you said, it would be an upgrade as far as a third or fourth cornerback.
Yeah, and if he had to go in there for a game or two and start, I think you're okay.
Like Chad Scott last year.
I was just referring to the long term, especially
if
it's Samuel, because Hobbs and James play a similar kind of game where they like to gamble on that pump fake, and I think you'd be able to hit some deep balls on the Patriots if that was the case. But if he had to come in for a game or two, I think he'd be all right. But as a third corner depth, I think it's a good signing.
And the way the cornerback position looks right now with the Patriots, we mentioned Samuel, who we've gone on and on. We don't have to regurgitate everything about the franchise tender at this point. But Ellis Hobbs, Chad Scott, Randall Gay, and I was going to bring him up as well because today is the deadline for restricted free agents to sign offer sheets with other teams.
Right.
There was word that he had visited the New York Jets, nothing more than that, and so it appears highly unlikely that a team will swoop in at the 11th hour to try to sign him. So his only options are to sign the one-year deal with the Patriots, come to agreement on a long-term deal, or hold out. So it's safe to say that Gay will be a Patriot.
Randall Gay is going to hold out.
Highly unlikely.
Well, there's really, for restricted free agents, there's nothing to hold out for, because you really don't have any leverage.
No.
Let's face it, the regular guys that hold out have little leverage as it is. A restricted free agent has none because he can't go anywhere. But in terms of the whole insurance thing, I think it's Torrey James is insurance for Randall Gay more so than anything If Randall Gay can finally stay healthy, and I say finally not as a sign of disrespect, but it's been 2 years since he's really been healthy, that's the guy I think that you're hoping for to be maybe your top nickelback is a guy like Gay. Mm-hmm. And now you put James in there with that mix. Now you have four pretty good corner. Tom started right at the top. You put Torrey James as your fourth best cover guy. That's pretty good.
That's not bad. And, you know, there's also a few other guys. Eddie Jackson, who we mentioned, he signed as a free agent
and
from Miami.
And they're going to bring someone in the draft, whether it be first round or not.
I think it'll be a first day, I think, will be a defensive back. I don't know if it'll be a safety or a corner, but
probably a guy with some versatility who might be able to do a little bit of both.
Right. So bottom line, Torrey James is coming into, in an ideal world for the Patriots, compete with some of those other guys that we mentioned, Chad Scott, Randall Gay, maybe a draft pick for a third cornerback spot, a nickel spot, or something like that. But he's a veteran, and he's also been extremely durable. He missed a full season back in 1997, but let's face it, cornerback is a position that the Patriots have not necessarily been blessed with great health, and you know, he hasn't missed too many games in his career, so having some stability there.
Yeah, and the way the Patriots use that position, B-Lo, I think you have to have a ton of them. You know,
and that's what they generally do this time of year.
Even when they're healthy, they utilize a lot of different cover guys. You saw what happened in that AFC Championship game. I don't want to overstate one game, but when you finish a game and you have the likes of Rashad Baker and all those other guys out there, you know that you're going to need 9, 10, 11 guys during the course of the season. You need to stockpile talent at that position.
And I know we've talked about this, Tom. You know, if you have the Indianapolis Colts on your schedule, and the Patriots played them in the playoffs too last year, you're going to need to have multiple cornerbacks on the field. And I know you've mentioned that in talking about cornerbacks in the draft. You need depth. And the Patriots do every year bring in a few veterans like this and a few rookies and all that, and they still sometimes end up having problems with depth and injuries and all that, but you can't have enough is basically what...
Right, and the Colts right now are the team to beat.
Yeah.
They're the Super Bowl champs, so
you
everyone's chasing the Colts, and you need those... Paul mentioned Rashard Baker. I don't think he should be on a team, much less be on the field in the AFC Championship game. No disrespect to him, but he's more of a developmental type guy, and... They need depth there, and Torrey James signing is a good step in that direction.
Well, Baker is on a team. He's on the Patriots. There were four restricted free agents that the Patriots had entering this offseason. Three of them had already signed in past weeks and months. That would be Rashad Baker, Wesley Britt, Gene Merchkowski, I believe, were the three, and then Randall Gay, as we mentioned, is the only other one. So you could expect, like I said, unless a team comes in today and tries to sign him to an offer sheet, that he will come back. A couple of other notes. The Todd Sauerbrunn saga, we've mentioned it over the course of several weeks now. It's amazing that
it's the craziest thing you've ever seen since you've been here.
It's amazing that a punter who was without a team for several months last year has had a saga go on for 3 or 4 weeks now. But just the quick timeline, he signed an offer sheet with the Broncos. The Patriots used what they thought was a right of first refusal to match the deal based on parameters of the contract they signed last year. The NFLPA, on behalf of Sauerbrunn, disputed that. They had a hearing earlier this week. The NFLPA and Sauerbrunn won, saying that basically it was an actual paperwork type of thing as opposed to an inability of the Patriots to have that right of first refusal. But the bottom line is Sauerbrunn won his hearing and has since signed a deal with the Broncos. So, unless the Patriots now decide to try to trade for Todd Sauerbrunn, which I guess we can't be stunned if they were to do that and just try to mess with the Broncos, it appears that he's out of the way. So Josh Miller, Danny Boger, Tom Malone are your three punters.
That's the best thing that ever happened to the Patriots because you don't want Sauerbrunn disgruntled. He's got a mouth on him.
No.
He'll say whatever he feels. Now, when you take a player like Terrell Owens, you got to weigh the pros and cons, but he gets the ball in the end zone. You know what I'm saying? You don't want a disgruntled punter causing problems in your locker room.
Between a wide receiver that's going to catch 15 touchdowns for you and a punter.
Absolutely. Would have been fun, though. Would have been fun for a couple weeks in training camp to see that competition. Because that would have been a genuine competition. I mean, it wouldn't be like last year with Gramatica and Gostkowski where you're like, hey, the Patriots weren't taking a kicker in the fourth round to cut him. He's probably going to win the job. Gramatica's. This would have been, because the salaries weren't going to be ridiculously different between Miller and Sauerbrunn. That would have been an interesting, sort of entertaining competition. Entertaining for sure.
Well, the only thing that I don't think that we need to... I don't want to gloss over the fact that, and it's not a very important thing, because they have Josh Miller, and the overall scheme of the team is not really affected by this, but how did the Patriots let this happen? And evidently, it's a very simple thing that if you want to have one of these veteran right of first refusals, it's a separate sheet that needs to be included in the contract. It would seem to me, without having knowledge of exactly why they failed to do what was necessary, it seems to me they tried to slip one past them and try to get him. It says it in there, but it didn't, you know, and they were hoping that he didn't read it and he signed it. And if that's the way it happened, then you get what you deserve, and I don't think you should operate your business like that.
No, it's a good point. One way or another, it's you don't often think, and the Philadelphia Eagles with the situation that they had with the giving Brian Westbrook an extra $3 million, a second $3 million signing bonus he wasn't supposed to get. You hear these crazy, and that's a different scope than this, a little right of first refusal, but strange how those happen, people who are in the business.
Because I remember when we heard about Sauerbrunn having that right of first, or the Patriots having this, the right of first, and I was wondering, why would a guy like Todd Sauerbrunn agree to that? Mm-hmm. And evidently, he didn't know he was agreeing to it. So that explained it.
That explains it. One other quick note, the Patriots did re-sign wide receiver Kelvin Kite this week. He was an exclusive rights free agent. So if we thought Randall Gay had sort of some restrictions with free agency, an exclusive rights guy, as the name implies, really, his only options
were... They can't go on a training camp.
Your only options...
holding out. There's no possibility.
Your only options as an exclusive rights free agent is to sign with the team that owns your rights or to go open up a Burger King.
Go open up a Burger King, and Kelvin Kite wisely decided, you know what? Bring me in. At least I have a job for July and August. And based on the moves that the Patriots have made at wide receiver and with the draft still to come, he'd be a long shot, but... He'll get his shot nonetheless. So not a quiet week this week. Certainly some things to talk about, but nothing like next week is going to be with the draft. We've got a lot coming your way. We'll have draft roster report, of course, again next Friday. But on Tuesday, our final draft prospect preview. Review, preview, whatever you want to call it. Be sure to check that out. And of course, PFW
that really
in progress.
Him.
What's that?
That title of that podcast really bothers you.
It just doesn't seem to, it throws me off a little bit, I'll admit. But PFW in progress will be Wednesday. And then, of course, during the weekend of the draft, Patriots.com is your place to be with radio, blogs, correct?
Big blog.
Patriots
Big
Today. Blog. And lots of stuff. So as we gear up for the draft, Patriots.com is the place to be.
6 hours of PFW in progress over the weekend. You can't get enough of that.
I was going to say, that's Saturday morning. Then what about Saturday afternoon?
Three on Saturday, three on Sunday. We'll be there.
And those three will probably be, the first three will be before the Patriots pick? What's the time of those?
The first three will be later. It's like, isn't three to six?
So time so that it's during the Patriots.
Yeah, and then 12 to 3 on Sunday.
All right. Well, definitely a lot to look forward to for next week. So that's going to do it for this edition of the Roster Report. For Paul Perillo and Tom Casale, I am Brian Lowe. Let's go back to Laurie.
Thanks, guys. That's all for today. Remember to keep checking Patriots.com for all your latest Patriots information. Thanks for listening, and go Pats!